Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we welcome you back to our midday party. Rick and John here in the Kia Studios, counting down to the Falcons and Vikings, the Rick Kamla Bowl. 1 o'clock here on the game, pregame at 11 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game. Can't wait for this game. It's going to be one of the games of the week in the National Football League. And, John, I was just clocking our defense versus their defense in terms of the rankings. We'll get to that in just a second. What I can tell you is this. The biggest difference is run defense. Us being not that great,
sure.
Them being shut down. And I'll give that explanation in greater detail here in just a second.
Yeah, but one of the things that we have been able to do the last couple of weeks, and it's sometimes Sark being stubborn in a good way. He's just continued to bang the ball ahead time and time again. Seattle, they couldn't run the ball. There wasn't an inch to move. But he kept running it just enough to make them respect the fact that you were going to run the football. And then against Tampa, same thing. They were struggling. And then, boom, Tevin pops one through for about 25, 30 yards.
I think I was talking about the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is going into Minnesota, you're now going to have to do the same thing from the Falcons going against that run defense. That was the point I was getting to.
Okay, gotcha.
You're going to have to bang it in. You know, you're going to have to just continue to bang into that brick wall that is the Minnesota defense to try to loosen things up because that group is fantastic stopping the run.
The thing is, I'm listening to that, and I'm like, I don't think that's a winning formula, but it's you're really kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. When you think about this Minnesota defense, all right, probably, John, the best pass rusher in football that nobody knows about is Danielle Hunter, the other end, to Everson Griffin, who everybody knows. They've got, let's break down their defense. Linval Joseph, he's a household name. He's in the backfield all the time. They got another guy named, I believe it's Ted Johnson. He's just a kind of middle plugger. I don't know much about him. John, of their 11 starters, they've got two guys that are no names. The other nine guys are, you repeatedly hear them on Sunday. Kendricks, their middle linebacker, is a stud. Barr, he's the guy that broke Aaron Rodgers. I still love that. They're cornerbacks, top picks. Trey Wayne's of Michigan State, and obviously Xavier Rhodes of Florida State. One of the best safety combos in the league, Sendejo at strong safety and Harrison the Hitman Smith at free safety. They come off with Terrence Newman, who's been in the league a million years and still effective.
And Mackenzie Alexander,
a second-round pick out of Clemson. Are you kidding me? And the linebacker nobody's heard of is a guy named Gideon. Mm-hmm. He was a fourth-round pick out of Michigan and can go. So I'm just saying this is a star-studded defense. And the point I was going to make, John, is against the run, our Falcons are 20th. We're giving up 114 rushing yards per game. The Vikings are giving up 75 rushing yards per game. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, that's a crazy total. It is. It's second best in the league. Philadelphia is allowing 65 rushing yards per game. That's stupid. I don't even think Jordan Howard got to 10 yards against them.
You said 55?
What do you mean?
That's like college football. I'm saying that's unbelievable.
65.
That's like Alabama playing against the Citadel.
So those numbers kind of stick out to me as – And by the way, what is Minnesota? They want to be balanced on offense, but Latavius Murray is rolling. He's playing his best ball of the year right now. Jerick McKinnon catching balls out of the backfield. But the thing is, we have to limit their running game because we can't let them exploit that weakness. And by the same token, John, if they hold us to 75 rushing yards, as they typically do, and they have only allowed six rushing scores all year. So they've played, 10, 12 games or whatever? So that's about a half of a rushing touchdown per game. This is the best front seven we played all year.
It absolutely is. And I think we're one of only two teams, us and them, that might be top 10 in both offense and defense. Have to look. Philadelphia may be as well. Falcons are 10th statistically overall on defense. And I know people, oh, yeah, whatever. You're giving up yards and you're blowing leads and this and that. They've done a really good job against the pass, only 207 yards a game allowed to have the Falcons. Run defense, as you mentioned, 113. That's almost, what, 40 yards total more than what the Vikings are giving up. I think if the Falcons run for 75 yards this week, that is a win against that Minnesota defense, because he ran for, what, about 50 or 60 against Seattle, and 15 of that was on a Matt Ryan scramble.
And, John, to those who, you know, want to – the numbers are actually pretty good in improving on the Falcons' defense. John just mentioned it, 10th overall in yards allowed, 321 per game. And you say, okay, but they're giving up a ton of points. They're not. They're giving up the 13th most points in football at 20.9. Problem is Minnesota's top five in total defense and pardon me, fifth in total defense and fifth in scoring defense. Mm-hmm. So they're not bend and break and all. Like, the bend but don't break defense is the New England Patriots. You look at their yards allowed, they're like bottom five in the league. But you look at points allowed, I think they've given up like 20 points a game. So they're a bend but don't break defense. The Vikings are not. They don't bend or break.
Minnesota's lost twice this year. They lost 26-9 early in the year at Pittsburgh, always a tough place to play.
That was their first game after the Bradford thing.
Right. The only other game, they lost 14-7 to Detroit. Since then, they've only had one game where they've given up more than 23 points. They gave up 30 to Washington in a wild one on the road in Washington. But 17-10, 16-16, 7, and then 23 against Detroit, obviously on Thanksgiving.
I'm glad you brought up that Washington game because Minnesota was housing them. Case Keenum is a giveaway quarterback, okay? He hasn't been, but that's been his history. And, John, he threw two second-half interceptions that created short fields for Washington. They converted those into touchdowns and actually made that a one-score game. That final score is not indicative of the beatdown that Minnesota gave Washington that day. If it weren't for those two turnovers by Keenum, it would have been a runaway win. But that's why I'm glad we came to that point. We can turn him over.
Yep.
You've got to heat him up. And obviously, John, I don't think we can sit back in a zone against Diggs and against Thielen. I think you've got to man up with these
guys.
Well,
I think you got to mix it up. If you go just zone.
You can't go just zone.
No, and the Falcons don't.
Thielen is great at finding pockets and you know, cutting a route short by 5 yards to find that open space, and Keenum and him are locked in.
Yeah, what they've been doing, and they're running combo coverages. They're going to run some man. They're going to run some single high. They're going to run some two high safety. They'll run some zone. Typically, the Falcons go zone when it's third and long, and then they build the picket fence and just say, look, you're going to throw a 5-yard pass, and we're going to use our speed to come up and tackle you. That's what they typically do. Early on, a lot of times, they're going to rush for, play more man coverage in that scenario. I think Devondre Campbell can handle Kyle Rudolph. Rudolph's a good pass-catching tight end, but he's not Jimmy Graham. He's not a big speed guy. He's a position guy.
Totally
he's going
agree.
To get in there, box you out, make a catch, fall down.
He's good. He's not Gronk.
Right.
Or Kelsey or Greg Olsen when healthy Zach Ertz. The Jesse Ertz thing with K-State and Zach Ertz.
Dude,
just
Zach Ertz
trips me out. He's
year.
A total stud. But he's at the next tier down below those guys. He's in kind of that Delanie Walker tier, like a really solid tight end. But I will say this. It's been hit and miss with Keenum vibing with him. There have been games where Rudolph's really gotten off. There have been a lot of games where he's been super quiet. And I do like Devondre's matchup with him.
See, for me, the key to this game, and it goes back to what you were talking about, was the run defense. If you make Minnesota one-dimensional, and I know Case Keenum has played out of his mind, just was named the NFC Player of the Month, do I still trust that there's not going to be a point if the Falcons are ahead and Minnesota can't run it, that Case Keenum's not going to turn back into Case Keenum at some point?
That's my point. If you stop the run, and again, John, it's the third and eights, third and 11s, that's when we can attack and get a turnover, get a tip pass, get a strip sack. And we need to do that. And that brings me to another stat that does not bode well for us, at least what we've seen so far this year. The Vikings are a +4 in the takeaway giveaway. We are a -3. The Falcons are one of the worst teams in football at the plus-minus, at the takeaway giveaway. We are one of the lowest teams in the league at creating turnovers, forced fumbles, and interceptions. And that just simply has to change. If you want to go to the Super Bowl and right the wrongs of last year, this defense can't just, like, contain opponents as they're doing. You have to take the rock away.
What's our number again? Plus minus?
-3.
We would be +1, which I know in the league that ranking's so quick, if you didn't have all those stupid penalties on times that you actually took the football away.
Good call.
They've had 4 interceptions wiped out by defensive penalties.
And then you think of the tip balls, you know, Nick Williams, the Muhammad Sanu.
Yeah. You've had at least four balls, maybe five, that were intercepted that went off of our receiver's hands. So you're talking about nine turnover difference. I'm going to tell you now, take away the tip balls against Miami and Buffalo, you win both of them.
I don't disagree.
Take away the interception. What was the interception that Jay Cutler throws in the end zone that gets erased on the late hit that was very questionable? You win that game. So, and that's where the fine line of this league comes in.
I mean, thank God we stopped Tampa Bay on 4th-and-1. Yeah. Thank the good Lord we stopped them on 4. That was a touchdown, or that was a drive to tie the damn game. Mm-hmm. Thank God we stopped them. I mean, thank God. Thank you, God, for
the only good thing I'll say about
them
that
on
is
that drive.
I had no doubt we would have walked down and scored again.
But at that point, the sphincter gets tight.
Oh, it does.
As Charles Barkley always says on Inside the NBA. Like, if you had this 27-6 lead, mm-hmm. and they march back and tie it at 27, then you get a little sphincter factor. And that might not have gone
away.
That
was a huge. Or does it just tighten up?
It just goes away.
Okay.
It just
disappears.
You can't. Yes.
It's gone. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all that needs to be said.
John, let's downshift into some Devontae conversation.
We had Devontae yesterday was announced that he was going to be back in, so we got some sound from Devontae Freeman talking about coming back to this team.
I'm excited just to be back out here, be in the mix of things, just try to keep a level head through all this, not get too excited, you know, too emotional, you know. I've been here before, so just a blessing to be back. Trying to figure out ways to get back on the field quick as possible, but doing it the smart way, you know, protecting myself for longevity also, you know. But like I said, I'm a competitor, so even with the games that the trainers here and my doctor that we was going through, I mean, the things we had to do to prepare to get cleared, it was challenging, so I liked it. I'm a competitive player, and it helped me.
You know what that told me, John, mm-hmm. in there that about 20 seconds ago what he said about, you know, thinking of the future and taking care of myself? That tells me that he probably could have played against Tampa Bay. Like, if that were a playoff type of scenario, and I know you've got to go through the protocol,
sure.
and you've got to cross those hurdles, but maybe he was, like, really close, and the team just said, nah, let's hold you out and just get you that much healthier for the Minnesota game. Kind of the Greg Popovich card. If a guy's out a month, mm-hmm. he'll be, like, ready to go during that month, and a lot of times Greg Popovich holds him out another week just to make sure he is absolutely 100%. That tells me that Devontae was getting close, but for the long term, you know, of this year and going forward, let's just hold you out one more week. Do you agree with that theory?
A little bit. The problem is with the doctors in hand, they make the decision. Devontae could say, I'm fine, I'm 100%. The doctor goes, yeah, but you failed this one test, or you're not quite over that hurdle. What it also says, though, is look at the stretch you have. You have Sunday, Thursday turnaround. You could literally go from 6-2 if things go your way Sunday and Thursday. Like, that's how huge this 4 or 5 day stretch is for the Falcons, and you need every bullet in the chamber you can get.
Mo, you got that cut about Devontae not changing his running style. It's something about all gas, no brakes.
Mm-hmm.
I heard this cut this morning. We'll play it for
that's
you.
That's how
here
people drive on Sugarloaf. All gas, no brakes.
That's how Preacher Man drives. I'll tell you that right now. He's nodding his head aggressively.
That is Paul Andretti back there. He should have his own little go-kart track somewhere.
But, John, this is sound I really want you to hear. And I'm not saying that you're getting on Devontae, you got to change your style, but you've raised the question.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae's taking on concussions now. He is a breakneck, don't care about his body type of player. You know, it's all about the W. It's all about the first down. And so you've been wondering about his playing style, and you're a little bit concerned about it. So I definitely want you to hear this cut. I can tell you right now, not that this surprises you, John, Devontae ain't changing a thing.
Of course not. Mark is still looking in the computer because the computer is not, it's not really
probably
helping.
Frozen on him,
well,
or something,
you know,
like
I, again, I wonder with this merger, does Entercom come in and go, and all, like, new stuff appears. Like, we'll have MacBook Pros here.
I sure hope not, because we've got all the gadgets and drops and all that kind of stuff. The history of the Midday Show
John. That's when you take one of those external hard drives and pop that right on in there and just download all the information.
Devontae Freeman is the type of competitive back that you need against a great front seven like this. You can't have, like, dude, if we had Amir Abdullah, we're running for 20 yards. I'm telling you, if James Stewart was our bell cow guy, he's going for 29 yards on 21 carries against this defense. But Devontae and Tevin, that's a different animal, man. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, 75 yards against this team that's given up 75 yards would be enough. I don't see it that way. To me, that's us playing Vikings football if we get over 100 yards against this defense, that's going to be a huge win for us. That would be big-time advantage, Falcons.
No, it would be monstrous if you could go over 100 yards against this group. You get it where it's a two-way go, and that's something, again, where I said Steve Sarkisian's been stubborn in a good way the last few weeks. You continue to run it and make a team go, all right, I have got to figure out what's going on. Like, that's what you have to do. And he's kept it where I got a back in the backfield, I may play action. If anything, it makes the linebackers freeze for a millisecond. And that millisecond's the difference between a guy getting into his drop zone and being in the throwing lane, or Julio or Muhammad or any one of the wide receivers, or Austin Hooper being open in behind them.
All right, so let's hear M.O. And M.O., thank you here, on the fly, finding the sound. Here's Devontae saying he ain't changing a thing.
We're going all gas, no brakes, 100 miles per hour. Once you get cleared, you all go. That means you all go. We was preparing to get clear to be able to go 100 miles per hour. So it's all go.
It's what you want to hear. All go. And that just lets you know he's not changing anything. You're not going to see Devontae Freeman press the hole and then run straight out of bounds. It's not going to happen.
If we're talking about a quarterback who's taking headshots and not sliding and like fighting on the sideline for an extra yard, and he's getting bludgeoned by linebackers, that's a different conversation. Sure. You absolutely have to protect yourself at that point. Running backs cannot do that. They don't have that luxury. And especially when you have a Tevin Coleman behind you. Yeah, you should go even harder because of that. And like, you know the football mentality, dude. If you're injured, you're injured. You're on the sideline. You're in crutches. You got your arms in a sling, whatever it is. But if you are cleared, then you go like a bat out of hell. And it's that simple. There's no like different speeds. There's either top speed or you're injured and you're on the sideline.
Here, you know, it's crazy. They ran it better against Seattle than I remembered. I forgot Teron Ward actually had a nice little game. They ran for about 80 yards against Seattle. But again, it was just enough on 30 carries to make Seattle respect that they were going to run it.
Totally agree. It's a great point. And we didn't have Devontae for that game.
Nope.
So you think you throw that big ol' log on the bonfire, and so that maybe gets you to 100. I'm just saying that the Vikings defense has been fantastic, but they have not faced a backfield like this.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. When we get back from the break, let's do an NFL bounce. Who's back in the starting lineup in the division? You missed this victory song, didn't you?
No, I don't think so. Was this last week?
Yeah, you were out though, weren't you?
Yeah, maybe I did miss this one.
Maybe we replay that for Rick in the commercial break. It's coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
A lot of respect for every NFL defense. You know, I take my hat off. To me, it's just the next opponent. No matter how long I've been out, who we playing, it's always about the next opponent. It don't matter. We ain't got no picks. It's not like we're going to up our tempo because we're going against a really, really good defense. You know, we're going to do what we continue to do, and I'm going to do what I continue to do and prepare and try to, you know, be the piece to the puzzle.
So this is an absolute statement game, man. A showdown in the NFC between the Vikings and the Falcons. That was Devontae Freeman giving his two cents, and he's right. You can't change what you do. John, if you stink, you can change what you do. You might have to change what you do. When you are a Super Bowl contending team, you don't change what you do. You run your stuff and you hope it's good enough to beat a very, very good team. The NFL Bounce brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Stop by and test drive their new 2017 Kia Sorento. And all of a sudden, Charity needs some body work on her 2015.
On the Sorento, Kia Sorento is what you mean.
Yeah. She kind of got in a fender bender. And it was kind of her fault.
I'll be honest.
I'm kind of happy it was her fault.
I'm not because...
Takes me off the hook a little bit.
But no, I'm not because you guys, you've already kind of mentioned the insurance policy that has gone through the roof for you. Tack on about another $50 to $100 a month.
I know. I'm trying not to dwell in that math. I'm trying to compartmentalize and not let that buzz kill me because I have been given by the traffic gods a get-out-of-jail-free card. Because I've gotten in fender benders. I get an occasional ticket. I'm not the best driver. I'm not the most attentive driver, okay? I admit that.
But there's a red pole down in the Colony Square parking deck.
Exactly.
Still going through therapy.
Exactly.
No, that pole's been removed. That along with about 1,500 other parking spaces down there. I now have to park at the Wells Fargo building. See that one way over there, Rick?
Yeah.
It's like 2 miles. That's where I park now. I still get charged for parking here.
You know who's got the red pole right now? El Chapo. He's in jail somewhere, 300 stories underground, hugging up on the red pole.
Has somebody made like instead of a turnover chain, a pole chain? Somebody's just wearing the red pole as a
turnover pole.
Turnover pole. Turnover pole. Once you get hit by an F-150, you get the turnover pole.
All right, who's coming back in the NFC South?
Well, that would be your boy, Krabby himself.
He is. He still is.
Jameis Winston. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Gene Dekeroff, who had to navigate last night's conversation with Jimbo Fisher, now gets to get their quarterback back. And obviously they will have Jameis Winston coming back this weekend for my fantasy team. That is huge because I've been starting the dregs of fantasy football.
Do you work the opposite team sideline as well? Or
not,
do you
no,
only stay,
I stay
on the Falcons side?
No.
Okay, so you might not have seen this, and Fox did a good job of showing this. Mm-hmm. Constantly going to Jameis on the bench. And, you know, Jameis, is a team player, and he wants to win, and he's not a selfish guy. I don't think that way. So he was cheering for guys and trying to get guys pumped up, and thankfully he wasn't putting his stupid fingers in his mouth like he was the other day, trying to taste that victory. But, John, you know how the pitcher who's not pitching, but he's got the next start the next day, mm-hmm. and they got to log pitches,
yeah,
and they've always got the little thing, and they're doing their thing. Well, Jameis Winston was doing that. He had like a notepad out. He's got a pen, and he's like taking notes. I don't know what the hell he was doing. It looked like punishment, actually, because I don't think Jameis was the most studious cat down at Florida State. I'm guessing a lot of people did a lot of his schoolwork for him. And by the way, I'm not one bit mad at him for that. If future first overall pick, stud NFL player, I wouldn't really care about school either if I were him. But that looked like punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis, you're in the doghouse. For all this stuff, we're going to make you like chart passes and chart plays. Anyway, he'll be back this week. And the good news is we buried Tampa Bay last week. We put them underground. They're in a coffin. They are dead. They can't come back, even with Jameis.
No, they can't. They're finished, and they weren't playing that well with Jameis to begin with anyway. He's not back from the shoulder injury. Maybe this week he can eat a W.
No, they're at Green Bay.
They could win that game.
Green Bay is going to win. I think Green Bay is going to take care of them. Think about this. Tampa Bay's defense is god-awful. Even mm-hmm. their front seven with McCoy and with Quan Alexander and Levante David and all these. It's like, you know what, dude? They must have checked out. Mm-hmm. They're like, this ain't our year. They're going through the motions. But I can tell you this right now. The worst secondary in football belongs to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Hey, the bigger story that's coming out of the NFL this week, and actually earlier on today, we talked about this at the beginning of the program, but the NFL and a group of players reached an agreement in principle late Wednesday to partner on a plan to address social justice issues considered important to African-American communities, according to ESPN. The unprecedented agreement calls for the league to contribute $89 million over 7 years. During a conference call Wednesday night, Malcolm Jenkins and Anquan Boldin, who led roughly 40 players who have negotiated with the league office about demonstrating during the national anthem, guided this group through the highlights of the package. Here's the important one, though. The agreement does not include language calling for players to end protests during the national anthem in exchange for the funds. There's no implicit quid pro quo. The NFL hopes the effort will effectively end the peaceful yet controversial movement that Colin Kaepernick obviously started.
This is why I don't understand some of the players who are against this, because it'd be one thing if the NFL is an ultimatum thing. We'll mm-hmm. give you the cash, but we need you to stand and respect the flag and respect the anthem. They haven't done that. The NFL's like, okay, we don't really want you to continue these protests because Papa John's is butthurt about it, okay? But we don't want you to continue these protests. John, there are a lot of people. I talked to a cop mm-hmm. When I was on vacation last week for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
He said he's done with the NFL. I'm like, what? He's like, I'm done with the NFL. And he, it was, you know, a relatively predictable, you know, reasoning for mm-hmm. why, he's all about America. He's mm-hmm. all about the flag. He's all about the anthem. And if you diss it or disrespect it in any way, shape, or form, you're dead to him.
Right.
And those are my words, not his. But, and I said, do you eat Papa John's pizza? He goes, hell no. I'm not eating
really?
Papa John, because they're the official pizza sponsor of the NFL.
So he's dug in that much.
So exactly. So to Papa John's point, mm-hmm. you remember what he was saying, complaining about the NFL and how the protests are costing us business? It's only one guy, but you multiply that one guy. This is a huge, huge problem, man. But I think that the NFL is making a nice gesture here. And mm-hmm. I think it's huge that the NFL is not making this an either-or scenario. We're going to give you the cash. We're going to do this. We're going to try to help local communities. And you can still protest. But, John, we would prefer it if you did not.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think with the league, what they're doing, they realize, obviously, the social injustices are the whole root of why these protests happen. The league realizes these players have a reason to be protesting. May not have agreed with the way that they went about it with the national anthem protest, But what did we say way back when Colin Kaepernick did this the first time? It got people talking. If nothing else, agree or disagree with the way that he went about it, and it, I don't care to argue on what side it is, but it got people talking about what was going on. And now the league is saying, wait a second, we're going to help out. $100 million, which is almost what it, that is a lot of money to go towards research, to go towards funding, anything else that may need to be done here. And they haven't taken the stance saying, you got to stop what you were doing. I wonder now, do the players step back and go, okay, that was enough? Or do we continue to need to protest? That's what I want to see how it happens.
I do too, but I think that they're going, like Michael Bennett, for instance, probably the most outspoken player in the NFL in terms of this particular cause and really anything. Do you think he's appeased by this?
Probably not.
I would bet against that. And again, I'm not mad at him. He can go ahead and have that opinion. I'm kind of on the NFL side with this one. I think this is a hell of a gesture by the NFL owners to reach into their own pockets. And granted, they're super deep, and this money is not going to hurt them at all. They're probably barely going to notice it. But nevertheless, John, the owners do not have to do this.
They don't.
And they're coming
Absolutely
together to do
not.
It to the tune of $100 million. So I think they deserve some credit.
Yeah, they do. And you know what? The players deserve some credit. I know there's people out there that are going to hate to say that. They stood up for something that they were dug in on. And they said, we're going to continue to protest until something happens. I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to continue to protest. They were dug in on their stance. They have the right to protest again. And this is not whether it was right or wrong going against the anthem and doing the protest then. But they got people to talk about it. And I think that's what these players wanted more than anything.
And think about, look, this money is going to have tangible effects on local communities.
Yes.
This is $100 million.
Absolutely.
They're going to be able to, like, rebuild schools, rebuild basketball courts, rebuild football fields, and, like, make communities better. So it is a win for the players for sure.
Hey, don't forget tonight, it is Thursday Night Football. You can hang out with me 8:30 to 10:30, Buffalo Wild Wings at the Cumberland Mall location, 92.9 The Game's Thursday Night Football Watch Party. Get your friends in the huddle for a night out with delicious wings, cold beer, prize giveaways, and watch Washington take on Dallas. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Washington is going to wear Color Rush uniforms tonight. I believe they're going with the all mustard look. I think it's all mustard.
Their general manager is hot about it.
Hates they don't them. Like them?
Bruce Allen, their GM, does not want them to wear those jerseys.
Really?
A lot of the kids, like my 12-year-old Jalen, loves the mustard look. He told me the jersey he wants for Christmas is the Color Rush Rams girly. Yeah. Kind of that mustardy yellow. I don't know. He digs it. I'm going to buy it for him.
You know what, kids? If the kids like it, the league's going to say, I cannot do yellow.
I'm not really feeling it either, yeah. But he is.
Maybe if I've got a dress shirt on, it's a nice soft yellow. I can't do the loud mustard yellow.
It's a tough look, man. It's a tough look. And then you've got, will you be watching tonight's game?
Yeah, I'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings, hanging out there, watching the game, Wings Beer Sports.
Preacher, man.
8:30 to 10:30.
Check that box.
Cumberland Mall location.
Yeah, he just did that.
So, anyway, John will be at Buffalo Wild Wings tonight.
Mark, you going to come out?
I'm lusting for those wings.
What time you get there? What, 8:30 to 10:30?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might pregame it with you.
Okay.
I got to be somewhere at 8:30. Will you be there 10 minutes?
I'll be there about 8:15.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Beer and a shot.
Okay.
What do you got going on tonight, Emma? You watching Cowboys Redskins?
Buddy Monhelms with a huge 4K HD TV.
Uh-huh.
Go watch a little football there.
Okay.
I mean, it's like straight up 3D quality, movie quality.
Sweet.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy with the fancy.
Is he going to be like John?
Got a 4K TV.
Let's back up. My buddy. I ain't got that. I've got the tube TV. I just got my Betamax hooked up to it. I'm going to record the game.
What does NFL Network think is going to be left of Jen Slater tonight? This young lady for NFL Network has been at Texas Stadium since 9 a.m. doing live hits, seemingly, John, every half hour. What is going to be left of this young lady? They're going to be calling on her to do live hits all day. Jen Slater, you need to call your agent and get a raise.
Yeah, I'm not sure what. I mean, there's a guy in the back, pushing down the turf. He's got one of the rollers.
Do we need live hits from the stadium at 9 a.m.?
Signs point to no.
Bro, she's going to be doing post-game stuff.
That is true.
17 hours from now.
We need Preacher Man for 14 hours tomorrow with From the Bible. What do you got?
14 hours?
Yeah.
You're lucky I give you four.
We do barely get that.
So Lane Kiffin trolls Tennessee hard in regards to their coaching search. And Bulls' Nikola Mirotic, is he a forgiver? All coming up next.
Hallelujah, indeed. Shout out to all the deadheads that were at Phillips Arena last night, filling it, and I mean filling it. There weren't any open seats. The floor was completely full, and John Mayer turned me from sleeper, doubter, slash hater into fan. He shredded last night, so shout out to the Grateful Dead Nation for showing up in force.
Now, did he have
Serena.
Like an electric guitar up there, like, was it Lemmy from Motorhead? Just was he doing that?
No, I mean, I probably shouldn't say he was shredding, because shredding is like Dimebag Darrell and Pantera. That's shredding. But John Mayer was fantastic, man. He's got a inherent soulful bluesy quality to the way he plays guitar and sings that I really thought it worked, man. Shout out to the Dead. Boy, my old grandpas, Bob Weir, Bill Kreutzmann, and Mickey Hart, those cats are looking old, man, but they got a young, awesome keyboardist, a young, awesome bassist, and John Mayer. They're keeping it moving, Preacher Man.
Preacher Man is the John Mayer of this show. He's bluesy, he's earthy, he can play a mean guitar.
He's winning with women like that?
He's high as a kite.
Got the munchies. So, I got some fruity pebbles on Twitter. Pete Thamel has reported that the Tennessee dumpster fire continues as Dorn will stay at NC State.
So they're now down to coach like 11. Dave Dorn, I'll be honest, if I'm Tennessee, I'd probably go, thank goodness. Dave Dorn is not an inspiring hire
to
me.
No, he's not. And I think underachieved a little bit this year with NC State.
Mm-hmm.
Preacher Man, did it say, because I know that as of this morning I read, and the contract negotiations between Dorn and NC State had hit a snag and they have stalled. Has he come to terms on a long-term extension with NC State?
I'm assuming so. According to the tweet, he has texted all his staff that he's remaining. There are sources out there that his paycheck has gone up.
Oh, there you go. By the way, he got a $100,000 bonus for reaching win number 8, mm-hmm. and he did so in come-from-behind fashion against North Carolina.
Barrett's Lee, our buddy. And by the way, get better, Barrett.
Get well soon, Barrett.
Yeah, Barrett's our dude. He suffered another seizure the other day. He was supposed to come on the program. Obviously, his health concerns are first and foremost. Barrett, you're in our prayers, everything. You've been our dude for a long time. He put out something earlier today on Twitter that I found very interesting. He said, here's better options than Dave Dorn at Tennessee who haven't been offered. Lane Kiffin, Kevin Sumlin, Dino Babers, Neil Brown, Chad Morris, Kevin Steele, T. Martin, Mike Norville, Jeremy Pruitt, Brent Venables, Blake Anderson.
Most of those I'm on board with. I'm surprised Brent Venables. Tennessee seems like We have heard through good sources that Brent Venables, the DC of Clemson, wants to be a head coach but is waiting for the perfect job. And I don't know if Tennessee's the perfect job, but it is one of the heritage teams in the SEC East, in my opinion. It is a team that should be top three with Florida and UGA every year. I think that'd be a nice come up for Brent Venables.
He has been tied to the Arkansas job a little bit. That name has popped in there a little bit as well. Mike Conti tweeted Rush Probst, the famed high school coach that was in Hoover High School, and now he's at one of the Colquitt County, Cook County, I don't know what county, one of the counties down there in South Georgia. Really good high school coach, had some off-the-field issues.
They're not a great team on the field right now, Tennessee, but it's still a top program. I'm amazed they're having this much trouble. I'm looking at Business Insider. They're one of the top 15 teams in college football, not the SEC, in college football in terms of revenue. They made over $105 million years ago in revenue.
Problem is, on the football field, they're not worth $5 million.
But for
right
a
now.
Coach, mm-hmm. this is an opportunity to turn around and be a
Absolutely.
Hero.
Absolutely.
It's also an opportunity to go to Tennessee and get hated by their fans and have it be just a super messy situation. Why would Mike Gundy leave, as we said, a no-pressure job at Oklahoma State to come to Tennessee and have their – I want to be delicate about this, but
– petulant, spoiled, bratty.
Y'all are out of line right now. Stay in your lane. And John Curry, I said this earlier, I'll say it again, the AD of Tennessee, grow a pair of Christmas balls and make the damn decision yourself.
By the way, Oklahoma State is a better job than Tennessee right now, and it's not even close.
I agree with that, but as Emo said, in the overall scheme, if you get that thing cooking, I think the Tennessee job's better.
Preacher Man?
Well, we'll continue with the Tennessee trashing. Lane Kiffin took to Twitter. He obliterated the bridge, if there was one, between him and the Vols, in case they were might thinking about reaching out to him. He joked on Twitter and sent out a meme of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in a Tennessee jacket turning down the job.
Are you serious?
Oh, here's what makes it better. There's a petition going around Tennessee trying to get them to hire Lane Kiffin. Apparently there were 1,500 signatures.
I read there was like 7,000 at some
okay,
point.
Well, earlier this morning it said 1,500. And Lane Kiffin sends back and goes, that's nice, they're trying to hire me. There's 1,500 signatures. I have 2,000 said, hire Kim Jong-un.
let me ask you a question. Did the people that essentially fired Lane Kiffin, you know, that whole messy divorce, mm-hmm. is it still the same chancellor and president
no.
and AD?
No.
It's a different regime, right?
Correct.
All right. So, I mean, if it's a different regime, maybe he could go back, but obviously he's so butthurt about the way it went down. That's a no-dice scenario.
Go Owls.
Preacher, man. He'd rather be at FAU right now. FAU's a better job than Tennessee.
Go Owls.
Roswell's a better job than Tennessee.
How about Minnesota?
Go Owls.
Buford is a better job than Tennessee.
Go Owls.
Greater Atlanta Christian is a better job than Tennessee.
Go Owls.
How about McEachern?
Oh, McEachern's not even close. Their facilities are top-notch. McEachern's a better job than Tennessee.
Go Owls.
How about the Minnesota Golden Gophers?
Push.
And your boy, P.J. Fleck.
Push.
He's rowing that boat.
Minnesota's a better job
He doesn't
than
get a Go Owls right there?
Yeah, he does. Come on,
Minnesota
Go Owls.
Doesn't get a Go Owls?
Row, row, row your boat.
Your
Go Owls.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, Preacher Man, what else we got?
All right, you remember back when Bobby Portis broke Nikola Mirotic's face?
Oh, yeah.
I do, yeah.
Okay, well, apparently he's all healed up now. He's been sidelined since October 17th and returned to practice on Wednesday. And he told reporters he's ready to move past the incident. We are teammates. We're fighting for this team. We're going to do what we need to do to make it work, Mirotic said. Bobby and me and the team, we are doing what we're supposed to be doing and being professional.
I don't know about this, man. It's tough. Like if I'm Nico, John, this is a tough one for me because okay, should the team trade one of them to separate them?
Yes.
You know, or should the team that's tanking? And by the way, the only team I believe last I checked it was below the Hawks in the standings, and that's exactly where we want to be. Wink, wink. But he caved in his face, man. Like I can. I don't know. To me, Preacher Man, this is a sign of softness from Nikola Mirotic.
Yeah.
Like, you can say, hey, man, he's still on the team. I got to move forward. I got to do what I do. He's got to do what he does. But, you know, I'm not friends with – like, that's what I would have said. I wouldn't have said, hey, we're all on the same team. No. You know, I have to support him. Give me a break. It's a sign of softness.
Dude, if we get in a pushing and shoving match, we scream and yell at each other, it's one thing. Heck, if we even throw a couple of punches and, you know, there's a scratch or a cut – that's another thing. You caved in my face. You gave me a concussion and broken orbital bone and all this other stuff. Dude, we can't be boys no more.
You're dead to me.
There is no kiss and make up. I would go to the front office, either trade him or trade me. The end. We suck anyway.
I know. The thing is, though, like, I hear you. You should do that. But the team's like, Nico Mirotic, who in the hell are you to come tell us what to do with our team? You know what I'm saying? This ain't Wade or LeBron or Durant or one of those guys.
Oh, come on. Nico Mirotic's got a good beard. You know, he likes to jack threes.
I tell you what, he's the John Michaels of power forward.
Oh, he'll jack a three in a heartbeat. Here's the other thing Nico Mirotic has learned. He knows when to stay in his lane. He realizes now his fight game ain't really up to par. His jumper's better than his punch. Preacher Man, it's that time.
Research material today comes from the mind of one John Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
Virola Guerrera.
What? How do you spell that?
V-E-R-O-L-A.
Okay.
G-U-E-R-A.
Got a little widespread panic here.
And don't think
I didn't
see your tweet,
material.
John, soliciting the UT
Love
job.
I yes, I absolutely. I have
I
just.
Saw you're available.
I just sent Tennessee Football a tweet. I said, hey, at Vol Football, I'm available. Go ahead and slide in the DM. Let's talk some football. Don't send me any nudes. I just want to talk football. Hey, the next guy coming up, he's the sexiest man in radio. He's been bouncing around happy.
Knox?
It's Knox Bardeen. He's a couple of days late, but he got bumped for Coach Bud and John Collins. That's next. Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
All right, we're not back home, but we're in the Kia Studios, and we're the Midday Show with Rick and John. John Michaels. Hi, I'm Rick Kamla, and we have Knox Bardeen of 92.9thegame.com here in the Kia Studios with us. Knox, good afternoon, dude.
Hey.
How you living?
I'm fantastic. How about you guys?
Bro, so you're a jam band guy.
Yeah.
And we have that very much in common. I actually texted Knox yesterday, said, hey, man, I got free tickets to the Dead Show. Let's go. Knox had stuff to do. But I will just say this. The show was way better than I thought. Look, I'm an old school Deadhead. I started seeing him in 85. I saw him to 95. I saw the last Dead Show at Soldier Field, and Jerry died. And I was kind of like, what's the point, man? My homie died. I'm moving on. To Panic and Fish and all that kind of stuff and Disco Biscuits and all that kind of stuff. I saw the first Further Fest, and that was sort of the reorganized Dead after Jerry died. I was like, all right. And I had not seen the Dead until last night. And it was three original members, three new members, including John Mayer, and he wowed me. He was that good.
Wow.
And I was sleeping on him, dude. The singer-songwriter thing doesn't do it for me. I'm a rock and roll guy. But he was super. Just super. Shout out to John Mayer, man, for making us all happy. Tons of deadheads in the house last night. But let's talk college football. Let's bicker with our boy, John. We're 2 days late.
Let's do it. I'll be honest. This is the first week that I don't know what there is to bicker about.
Well, let's start with this. Bama or Georgia at number five, Knox? Because John and I have been talking about this. We both think that Bama should barely be ahead of Georgia at that 5-6 debate.
And it's funny because I actually ranked Georgia higher, but after, and again, this was Saturday night. I was not in a very good mood Saturday night because of what happened Friday. Mm-hmm. My team could have been the number one team in the country. Instead, they're not. Now people are dropping like flies, but neither here nor there. I had Georgia 5, but the argument can be made absolutely that Alabama is number 5.
I have Georgia at 5 too. Simply, I think Georgia's resume is better.
Why?
I think they've got a couple of teams on there that they've beat that Alabama doesn't have. Now, they have a common opponent in Auburn, and that looks better for Alabama.
No doubt.
But right now, I think I'm going to favor Georgia just a little bit. It's close, though.
Let me ask you this, Knox, and this was something Rick and I were talking about yesterday. Do you feel that Alabama being placed at 5 puts them in the playoffs if anybody in front of – okay, SEC title, ACC title, for argument's sake, those guys are in. But if the other two, Oklahoma or Wisconsin, lose, do you feel Alabama gets in?
It starts a huge argument at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're the team that would be there. And remember, the committee said there's not much difference to them right now between 5 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
I think that opens the door to the biggest Ohio State-Alabama argument we could have.
Who would you put in that scenario?
Alabama.
You would?
I think I would put in Alabama. I think Ohio State might have the better resume.
Mm-hmm.
But I just look at the eye test on that one. I know I'm not supposed to. It's not one of the four criteria that the committee tells me I need to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But the eye test tells me that Alabama's a better football team.
Now,
I totally agree.
Now, Rick, and I agree as
Alabama
well.
Alabama would not have lost giving up 50 points to freaking Iowa.
In that scenario, though, that would be 2 years in a row the committee telling us that winning a conference championship means nothing. Specifically, winning the Big Ten championship means nothing. What has to be fixed with that? Because to me, there has to be something more than just the 13th data point for these conference championships.
Well, here's the bottom line, and Knox, take a swing on this after I go here. It's four teams. When it's four teams, it's controversial. It's mm-hmm. subjective. There's a conspiracy theory involved because it's only four, and there's five power fives, okay? What needs to happen is you go to eight teams, and you give each power five championship game is an automatic berth into the college football playoff, and then you have three at-larges. You could maybe holler at a UCF if they take care of business against Memphis. I'm just saying maybe. Knox is giving me the grimace face. But to me, that's how you fix this. If you keep it at four year after year after year, there's going to be confusion. There's going to be us sitting here in talk radio land and in barbershops and on bar stools playing the conspiracy theory card, the brand name card, the benefit of the doubt card. So make it an 8-team playoff.
And with four teams, you also have to decide not only which of the Power Five conferences you're going to screw here,
mm-hmm.
but you also are kind of pulled back behind the building and say, don't you dare put two teams from the same conference in, because then you're screwing two of the Power Five. So going to eight fixes that problem right there. And I will jump on board with you driving that bandwagon.
Wow, no bickering?
But I have an if, and I have a huge
okay.
if.
Okay.
Has to be the five conference champions automatically.
Agree.
In, and then it has to be three at large. Do not bring a group of five school and say, come on, we let the little guy in to have a chance, because that's crap. No one wants to see UCF in this tournament.
See, and I disagree. I think at that point, the Power Five would then have two different opportunities to get in, and that would be win your own conference, which you take care of on your own, or be one of the two teams that's chosen as an at-large. If you're not going to reward the group of five, put them in their own division.
I agree with you there. Put them in their own division.
And
get rid of them.
I don't say get rid of them, but okay, you're 30. Heck, you could probably take 45 teams. That's your division. You have a playoff. The end.
So I'm going to come in the middle here, because you guys, Knox, you're saying definitely don't get the sort of UCFs and the Marshalls and the Western Michigans in. Here's my comeback to that, and I got a nice compromise. You tell me if you agree here. We're bickering with Knox Bardeen, Rick and John. You don't mandate that a group of five team gets in, but if a group of five team handles their business undefeated and wins their conference championship and passes the eye test, then you get them in.
Did UCF this year handle their business?
Well, first of all, like, do you guys agree with that compromise?
No.
Like,
no,
you don't
that's...
have to get a group of five team in, but if that group of five team is nasty like UCF, then you do.
There has to be a criteria, and I get what you're saying. Go undefeated, win your conference championship, pass an eye test. That's going to be once every 5 to 10 years. Houston didn't go undefeated last year.
Western Michigan was undefeated last year until their bowl game, right?
But they didn't win their bowl game. But they could have gotten in.
But they could have gotten in.
Okay. I don't think you need to be undefeated. I think it would be a certain ranking. Okay, you want to have criteria. You're in the top 20 as a group of five, and you're the highest ranked group of five, you get in.
No, here's the criteria. If you're in the top eight, then you get in. You have to be in the top eight. I want the best eight teams in college football to play in this tournament. That's the only way to make it real.
Because you're not getting the best four right now. You're getting all these convoluted arguments as to who gets in and who doesn't. And they're jobbing UCF. They're putting them behind 2 and 3 lost teams. What else can they do? It's not their fault a hurricane hit and they couldn't play Georgia Tech, I think they would have beaten Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, Schmorgia Tech in this conversation here. Let me read you the top eight teams because I'm going to ask a question about it. We have Clemson, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Auburn, Georgia, Alabama, Miami, Ohio State. That's our top eight.
And draw a line. That is the top
eight.
Could
UCF beat any of those teams?
In a one-game scenario? Yeah, why couldn't they?
They have a puncher's chance,
absolutely.
Maybe. But those eight teams are so much better than UCF, it's not even funny.
I could argue right now, Oklahoma lost to Iowa State. Miami lost to Pitt, who's horrible. Ohio State lost twice and got blown up by 30 by Iowa.
Okay, answer the question. UCF plays each of those teams 10 times. How many games do they win?
I don't know, one or two.
That's embarrassing, but it's a one-game playoff. I don't want to see that Cinderella scenario in my football playoff. Give it to me in college hoops.
If UCF played Wisconsin 10 times, it's probably Scotty 6-4. Scotty 7-3. Scotty's overrated, man. I mean, get a quarterback. Oh, and by the way, does anybody realize that their top receiver, Quintez Cephas, is out for the year with a leg injury?
I didn't know they had
a
wide receiver.
Does anybody care?
That's it, right?
Top receiver gone for the year. Oh, they'll be fine. They'll beat Ohio State. Get the hell out of here with that. And I think the Wisconsin thing is people want Wisconsin to beat Ohio State. It's not a prediction. It's not like everybody's mind is behind it. Like, oh, yep, I've broken it down every way to Friday, and Wisconsin is better for all the – they're not. They're not as talented as Ohio State. They're not as deep as Ohio State. They're not as dynamic as and electric as Ohio State. Dude, Dobbins and Weber are studs. And obviously Jonathan Taylor's a stud as well. But who does Ohio State have to stop? They got to stop one guy.
Mm-hmm.
They got to stop Jonathan Taylor. If you ground him to a halt and force Hornibrook to beat you on 3rd and 9, game over.
Who they have to stop at Iowa, though? Well, they had to stop their own quarterback from throwing it to the other team.
But, John, you're absolutely right. But here's the thing. Ohio State is a turn-it-on, turn-it-off program. That's how they've been this year. They turned it on against Michigan at times, right at the start of Michigan. Boom, boom, 14-0. They didn't have it turned on yet. They didn't have it turned on against Illinois. Their defense, I think, had one sack. When Ohio State flips the switch, they can play with anybody. And I think they're going to flip that switch on Saturday night.
I think, and I understand your hatred towards Wisconsin, and I don't knock it. You're supposed to hate them. That's your rival. I think you're selling the Badgers short defensively. That is a really good group on defense. Ohio State struggled with Michigan. Wisconsin did for a little bit, still won by 14. Ohio State lost by 31 to Iowa. Wisconsin beat them by 24, and the only two touchdowns that Iowa scored, I believe, were on interceptions.
There were pick sixes by, I forget his name now.
That's it. Wisconsin's number one in the country defensively. Number one.
They have not played this kind of talent, though.
They've given up 80 yards a game on the ground. I think this game's going to be a hell of a lot closer than anybody thinks, and it's going to be because of Wisconsin's defense. I haven't seen Ohio State this year as a runaway and hide team. They blow out the Illinois of the world. When they play somebody that's going to have some pushback, they've been in grinders.
I'm just saying, you're absolutely right.
Well, they've been mollywopped.
Yeah. I'm saying this is a scenario where Urban is going to have that team's full and undivided attention, and I think Ohio State is going to play their best game of the year. But look, Ohio State, every time I went with one of their fantasy guys, he let me down. Every time I went with Ohio State against the spread, they have let me down. They're just that team. Like, I can't – they let me down. So, like I said, Knox, I can't win with this one. I've been born and raised to hate the Badgers, so I got to throw shade on them. I absolutely abhor Ohio State, who I consider the Dallas Cowboys of college football, so I can't win.
It depends on if you're a Chaos Theory fan or not. If you want to see chaos, you're rooting for TCU on Saturday, you're rooting for Ohio State. And at that point, the committee has a lot of decisions.
Here's what I don't want. I don't want a team that lost by 31 to Iowa and lost by 16 against Oklahoma to be in the playoffs. I'm sorry, that doesn't scream to me one of the four best teams. Auburn's lost twice. 8-point loss on the road at Clemson and a game that they blew a 20-0 lead against LSU. Yet they've beaten number one twice. So I can overlook two close losses. What's Ohio State done to deserve to get back up there? Okay, you beat Penn State by one.
Michigan State.
And Michigan State, let's be real, Michigan State is a more paper tiger.
I don't disagree with that. I want to ask you guys both a question. If Ohio State beats, like, let's say Oklahoma takes care of business and, you know, the ACC and SEC take care of themselves. If Ohio State beats Wisconsin, whether by 1 point, 10 points, 20 points, do they automatically make the four, Knox?
No.
So you're a Big Ten champ with two L's, and you just took out, what is it, number two or three Wisconsin? Number four. And you don't think it's a lock?
Nope. It's not a lock.
Not at all.
That loss is it
75%?
No.
No.
I think it's 50-50.
Tell me more.
Yeah. Well, I think it comes down to them and Bama. And it goes back to last year when the committee said, all right, we're going to take the one loss, non-division, non-conference, loss head-to-head champion in Ohio State and put them over Penn State. Remember, Penn State had a blowout loss to Michigan last year and a 3-point loss to Pitt. That's why they weren't in. Should have been in. They weren't.
I couldn't agree more. If that happens, it is going to be a knockdown 15-round heavyweight boxing match between Alabama and Ohio State in that committee room.
Yeah.
And they will fight that, and I think Alabama should win that.
Knox, I asked Rick earlier, who do you think out of the teams that play has the best chance of an upset win this weekend?
Wow, TCU?
Really? No, that's the one I have the lowest.
He's got this Big 12 man. I'm telling
Oklahoma
you right
State's
now.
Not playing.
It's an abnormal. It's an illogical Big 12 love. Tell us more.
See, I think TCU, and I'm way out on Kamla Island here. In fact, I'm past Kamla Island. I'm on Knox Island out here.
Dude, you're out with a dinghy in the middle of the ocean with no water and no fish to catch.
There's no defense in that. And maybe I should give me a couple seconds to rethink that. But my first impression is TCU there because I think the committee doesn't like them, and I think I'm too high. Another upset, I mean, in the Power 5 we're talking, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think Miami can win that game. I think they're injured too badly. I don't know if Georgia would be an upset.
I think
we agree with that, right? But that's a coin flip game to me, in my opinion.
Let's talk some Heisman for a moment. How many people, and I'll go around the room, they can take as many as five to New York. Is this simple as Baker Mayfield's won the award, it's over, just invite two others just for the cursory invite? Or do you think there's five guys that should be getting a chance to go there?
Good question. I mean, probably three, John, because it is a one-horse race. And we wanted to talk about this and kind of flesh out two through five. And I've got all running backs. I've got Mayfield, number one, of course. Jonathan Taylor, number two. He's the third leading rusher in the nation, 1806, 13 touchdowns. I've got Kerryon Johnson, third, 17 rushing TDs, almost 1,300 yards. And he split time for like the first half of the year. I've got Rashad Penny, 2,000-yard runner. Did you know that? Yeah. And he beat Bryce Love earlier this year. And in that game when San Diego State beat him, both Love and Penny went off and almost had 200 rushing yards. And then I've got Bryce Love, John, number five, second leading rusher in college football, over 1,800 yards and 16 touchdowns. Are you mad at my rankings?
No, I've got Mayfield, Johnson, Taylor, Love. I put Mackenzie Milton from UCF, mostly because of the huge game he had against South Florida. Truthfully, Lamar Jackson should be in my top five. He would be in over Mackenzie Milton.
One name that everyone except for me has left off, and they should not be sleeping on, Mason Rudolph. Let's go back to my Oklahoma State love.
Yeah, you're
4,500 yards this year, 35 TDs, 9 picks. He's got some good numbers.
You're going to have the Mike Gundy mullet here before too long.
If I could grow it, I would.
If Mason Rudolph goes to the Heisman Finals, you grow a mullet.
No. I'm not making that bet because he should be on the list, but he's not in the top three.
I will say this. The 4,500 passing yards was 500 more than the next closest guy.
Baker Mayfield.
Stick around for a second, Knox, because we do want to flesh out the Heisman coming out next. Who should be invited to New York City? Is it simply Baker Mayfield? Take a call or two as well, 404-741-0929. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
I want the best eight teams in college football to play in this tournament. It's the only way to make it real.
All right, Knox Bardine, you, my friend, just made the Rick and John Week in Review that will go down almost 24 hours from now, 24 hours and 20 minutes from now. Twin Peaks in Buckhead tomorrow. Mark Owens will unveil the Rick and John Week in Review.
Got to throw it out there, too, at Rick and John 929.
We're doing another round of Ask Us Something About Anything with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, hashtag trademarked.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a question for the guys, any of us, at Rick and John 929 on Twitter, or shoot us an email from the website.
I've got a slice of life idea for Monday if Tennessee does not have a head coach by then. Me and Paul kind of talked about this on our way to the bathroom. I said, you know what would be a great slice of life? Remember when we campaigned for president?
Yes.
And that was really fun. How about we campaign for the Tennessee head coaching job?
Love it. Done deal.
But they have to not hire a coach over the weekend.
Okay.
So Monday, let's hope that Tennessee continues to step in their own poo over the weekend and we have a chance to campaign.
So, like, we could do it tomorrow, but we're too lazy on Friday at Twin Peaks and
Buckhead.
No, because we're doing
the Ask Us Something.
No, but that the origin of that is sheer laziness.
Well, true.
How is this a shock or a surprise?
I was going to say, what's your point?
It's Friday.
Hey, less work, same pay. That's our motto around here.
I was going to say, it's Friday. We've got Mark is scouring the interwebs right now. He has found sub-$400 tickets.
$385. They're down to $385 for Saturday at Mercedes-Benz.
Let's be real, Mark. I'm being dead serious. What is a line where you could just go, blanket, I'm going?
$150 apiece.
Okay, so you're not
like
going.
Because, like I say, I'm not going. I mean,
Can we do a GoFundMe page to get Mark to SEC title
here's
game?
Here's the thing. I'm okay with that. I had a great season seeing games live. Would I love to be there? Hell yes.
For $125, I'll give you my credential.
Ooh. I wouldn't say that over the air. That'll get you fired quickly.
Well, that's why I said it, because I know it can't happen. But.
Okay.
Is that Crayola? I mean, Payola? Is that what that is?
Wait a second. Y'all just sort of look alike.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of I'm holding on Sean to my
McVay.
Hair spike.
It's Sean McVay. Knox Bardeen has the dad version of Sean McVay's hair.
He's 15 years older than Sean McVay.
And he's got the kind of wispy 5 o'clock shadow beard going, too, that's finally coiffed.
I don't think Knox is quite as old as us. I wouldn't say 15
years. Sean McVay's like 24, or 26. I don't know. Somewhere in that range.
So, John, just to answer your question before the break, you said, how many guys should be invited to New York for the Heisman ceremony? I'm going to say 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I challenge myself. I've gotten lazy with my Heisman rankings because it's Baker Mayfield's award. So recently I've been submitting to Knox just one name. And this week, Conti, Chuckery, and Wendy Adams only submitted one name, Baker Mayfield. I submitted 5. I challenged myself. I crunched numbers, and I came up with 5 guys. To me, Jonathan Taylor is the reason Wisconsin is in the college football playoff discussion. He has to be invited. Again, 3rd in rushing in all of college football this year. Kerryon Johnson. Where would Auburn be without him?
Mm-hmm.
They'd be going to the Capital One Bowl. He's got to be invited.
Well, if they lose, they still might be going to the Capital
One. You know what I'm saying? Rashad Penny has 2,000 yards. Mm-hmm. To me, that is just a milestone that earns you an invite. And then you have Bryce Love, 2nd in the nation in rushing. Without him, Stanford would not be in the Pac-12 championship game. So I think these 5 guys have earned a trip to New York City. What says you?
I love when they take 5 guys. Just, you know what? These guys very rarely get rewards for what they do. I've argued about paying players, and, you know, there's people online, you never should pay these kids. They don't deserve it. They get an education. Okay.
And they always say, what are they spending their money on? Yeah. Like, you should
it's
care.
Like, who cares? What are you spending your money on? You work and you earn it, but that's a different story for a different
porn.
Day. They want to send 5 guys up there, let them get the Heisman experience. I'm all for it. Lamar Jackson has to be one of those 5.
Agreed.
He has, a year ago, and hear me out, Rick, because I know you're very much against Lamar Jackson.
I definitely
Jackson.
Disagree with you.
3,543 yards passing a year ago. This year, 3,489 yards passing. Last year, 56% completion percentage. This year, 60% completion percentage. Last year, 30 touchdowns through the air. This year, 25. Last year, 9 interceptions. This year, 6. Passer rating a year ago, 148.8. This year, 151.5. Very even numbers. Rushing, I think he ran for 1,500 a year ago, about 1,300 this year. Ran for about 5 more touchdowns.
And also, since you're pro running back this year, this guy here, Lamar Jackson, is the 10th ranked running back in the country in yards, and he's 5th in touchdowns, ahead of guys like Love and...
This all boils down to a very simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are applying traditional college football thinking to this situation. And that's you're not wrong about that. I'm a Yankee who comes from pro sports,
mm-hmm.
and those are where my sensibilities come from. And to me, it's about merging stats and what your team did. And you guys are pretty much talking about best stats, best talent, best player. Because if you look at the combination of player and team, You can't invite Lamar Jackson because despite the improvements that he made that you just documented, John, his team got worse. And is that his fault? Not necessarily, but at the end of the day, he's the most talented player in college football. And he was, number two. I think Saquon Barkley's number one. The most talented quarterback in college football. That should just sort of automatically win you some of these games, you couldn't beat BC. Come on, man. Before the season, you would have said, oh, that's a layup. That's a win for Louisville. So I'm just saying, we're coming at it. It's not even worth bickering about because I'm coming at it from stats and team, and you guys are coming at it from just stats and talent.
No, because a year ago they were 9-4. 9-4. Got blown out by Houston, lost to Clemson, lost to Kentucky, got beat down in a bowl game. This year they were 8-4. It's not like they went from 9-4 to 4-8,
but he put up
great numbers.
And this Camo's argument last year is everyone voted for the Heisman when they were 9-1 last year, mm-hmm, instead of 9.
They voted for the Heisman. Who was the game where Lamar Jackson, he was leapfrogging dudes? Was that Syracuse?
Yeah, that was
early
the
year.
That was the first game of the year.
People gave Lamar Jackson the Heisman after week two or three when he had these ballistic, never seen before numbers.
I hear what you're saying, Camo, but this is more of a personal award, not a best player on the best team award. Mm-hmm. This is the best player in the country award to me.
No, that's why it's really not even worth bickering, because you guys are never going to convince me on player of the year. That's why I say Malik Rozier. For player of the year in the ACC, Lamar Jackson was not a more important player. He was not more important to his team than Malik Rozier was to his. Because if Lamar Jackson isn't there, they still could have gone, 6-6, 7-5, whatever it was, with whoever backup quarterback they have. If Miami doesn't have Malik Rozier taking the leaps that he does, they would have been irrelevant and out of the conversation weeks ago.
I asked the question, if you flip the two of them, put Malik Rozier on Louisville, put Lamar Jackson on Miami, what's the difference?
Miami is unbelievable with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. But you know, John, I don't like the what-if game. Jackson's with Louisville, Rozier's with Miami. So I don't like the hypotheticals.
I get that. I mean, the
I'll give it. Miami would be way better with Lamar Jackson. There's no question about it.
They'd be undefeated, number one in the country, and they'd be a favorite this weekend if they had Lamar Jackson.
And if Louisville had Rozier,
they'd be 4-8.
No, I don't agree with that. I think Rozier can play. I think they'd be 7-5, a little bit over 500 with Malik Rozier. Where are you on that?
I'm closer to John. I think Lamar Jackson turns that Miami team into unequivocally
the best
team in the country.
Because Malik Rozier lost one game.
Yeah, but Rick, he's also the reason they were in a close game against Georgia Tech, why the game against North Carolina was close, why the game against Virginia. He is so streaky, and I love the kid. I think you're going to see really good Malik Rozier this week against Clemson. He is a rise-to-the-occasion guy, but he would go through stretches, and I'm talking about five possessions in a row where he couldn't complete a pass.
I get it, but so let's put some blame at Amon Richards. Okay, Amon Richards, hot shot, broke the freshman record last year. He's been brutal, injuries or dropping balls. Well, what if Amon Richards was an 800 to 1,000-yard receiver, which he should have been? Then Rozier would have been that much more consistent. There's blame to go around with Miami.
Well, what if Rozier could actually hit a receiver on the run a lot of times? And again, this goes back to the streakiness of Malik Rozier. Here's who I would send to the Heisman. And again, Lamar Jackson would be one of the ones. Baker Mayfield obviously has to go. Kerryon Johnson, to me, is a no-doubter. 8 or 9 straight 100-yard games in the SEC. And then I've got to go Love and Taylor. So I would have a bunch of running backs going. And what's crazy,
3 backs and then 2 quarterbacks, with Jackson and Mayfield
Jackson
being the guys.
Mayfield, okay. Exactly. And what's crazy is Saquon Barkley's a guy that 5 weeks ago,
yes,
was the he had won the – when he returned that kickoff against Ohio State, they already had Saquon put on the Heisman Trophy. And then all of a sudden, he went away the last couple of weeks. Their O-line struggled. They didn't run the ball with him, whatever it may be. He's not going to make it.
They had a Tom Morstead problem, John.
Or Joe Moorhead.
Whatever the hell his name is.
I think Thomas Morstead's the punter for the Saints.
Yeah, I actually that's hilarious. All right, I guess I got my redo of the day. I confused the punter for the kicker. I watched every damn play. Dude, I think Morstead, the punter for the Saints, had like 7 or 8 punts last week.
He
was special teams player of the week.
Who are your 5 that are going?
Mayfield's going, and he's winning. You can put his name on the award already.
It's over. Yeah, it's over.
I am sorry, guys. Mason Rudolph leads the country in passing yards with 4,500.
Empty stats.
And he has a single digit in the interception column.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to New York City.
Who else?
I put Lamar Jackson in there. I think he's done enough. I also have Penny and Love. Those are the two running backs going.
No carry on. He was on your fantasy team, Knox.
He was, and he did me
right.
Yeah,
but his fantasy team wasn't very good.
It wasn't very good.
I actually got to look. I got to pay Andy Bunker. I don't know if the league paid him alone, but I got to go in there and square him up because he did win.
Yeah.
How do we let a Pac-12 guy from Washington come win college fantasy football?
By the way, if I would have made the championship game, I would have beat him 314-308.
Did you really go through and do the calculation?
I did. Just
to
torture myself.
What if, Rick Hamlin?
Mark Owens, help us out here. While Rick's doing fantasy calculations, let's read between the lines.
Coming up next, you hear Gus talking about the dogs, Matty Ice on Eli, and Rick off tune. It's all coming up next in Read Between the Lines.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.